Okay, it seems that we had a few technical difficulties this morning. I'd been sitting here talking away for about 10 minutes when I finally realized I was trying to get a phone call and had to have someone log on and tell me that we weren't on the air. So I appreciate you sticking with us. We finally seem to have gotten these technical difficulties figured out. I don't know that I did anything, so I appreciate Ryan so much in helping us with this. And Rick, thanks for letting me know, and Ryan as well, that we needed to get something figured out here. Rick, let me know on the message board if you can hear me now. I hope that you can. And then we'll kind of start over and go from there. Let's go back and we'll do our Today Is Mine from Brother Leroy Brownlow. Today is Bad Company. Brother Brownlow writes, an old parrot flew out of a farmhouse and joined some crows in a watermelon field. The farmer, not knowing this and wanting to protect the fruit of his labors, blasted them with a shotgun. The results were 3 dead crows and 1 ruffled parrot with a missing toe. The farmer tenderly took him home, where the excited children gathered around and asked, what did it? Bad company, answered the parrot. He spoke wiser than he knew. His foolish choice of associates had endangered him. So it is with man. Bad days come from bad companions, and better days come from better associates. George Washington said, 'Tis better to be alone than in bad company. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, the Proverbs writer says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. No doubt we ought to consider who our companions are. Bad company can most definitely lead to some bad things happening in our lives. And Joseph, we may actually say, could be an example of that, as we're going to study Joseph today in our look at the scheme of redemption. Joseph plays an important part in that scheme, and we're going to look at him and see what it is that he does. Now, I invite you to be turning with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And then we will begin reading there and making some application from Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we'll begin there in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he said, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, thy mother, and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed his saying. Now, what we have in Genesis chapter 37 is really the beginning of the story of Joseph. So we want to look at Joseph and the big picture here as we look at the scheme of redemption. Now, let's start there in verse 1, and let's look at some lessons and application here that we can see from these first 11 verses of Genesis chapter 37. Jacob, first of all, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. Now, God had promised this land, the land of Canaan, to Jacob's grandfather Abraham. We see that in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. But the land would be given to them and for their possession according to the timetable of God. And remember that God does not always work on our timetable. So we see the connection here of family, but more importantly, the connection to the promise made to Abraham. And so here Jacob, Israel, dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. He's there now, but we're going to see as we look at the life of Joseph, they're not going to stay there at this particular point in time. In chapter, or there, verse 2, rather, we see that Joseph was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. There seemed to have been, from what we see happening here in this chapter in particular, there seemed to have been many sad consequences of the multiple wives that Jacob had taken. There was a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of misconduct within this family. After Rachel had requested Jacob to father children with her handmaid Bilhah, Genesis 30 and verse 3. Then Leah requested Jacob to father children with her handmaid Zilpah when she had finished bearing her children in Genesis 30 and verse 9. From the problems that we see arising in Jacob's family, can we not see the wisdom of how things got, or how God had set things up as far as marriage is concerned? Marriage is designed. God designed it one man, one woman for life. And man would be, we would be prudent to get back to the Bible way of marriage and to teach it in that way. You look at the problems of Jacob, and really even today you look at the problems within within families that you see these broken homes and the problems that children have, and even the problems that parents have. Rather than working through things and keeping the family together, we just decide to call it quits. That's not a very good example for our children. And so God designed it this way for a purpose. Also there in verse 2, you look and you see that Joseph brings to his father an evil report concerning his brethren. Now, there are those that charge Joseph of being a troublemaker, or what we may term, or have heard folks term this way, as a tattletale. But when you look at Joseph's character and you see how he carries himself, you see how he conducts himself, I don't think that that's the case. Most of the time, a tattletale or a troublemaker does such out of jealousy or call for attention. It doesn't seem that Joseph needed any extra attention. He was getting all that he could handle and more. So I would look at Joseph, and you look at his character, and his actions really seem to be taken out of love for his brethren. You look at Genesis 42 and verse 24. Who can read that passage and not see the love that Joseph felt for his brethren? He loved them deeply. He loved them sincerely. And even though they meant him evil, he realized that God was going to do great things with him. So you see he has great love for his brothers there. Another problem we see arising here is that Jacob loved, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And friends, that there's no place for this within the family unit. Israel loved Joseph more than his children, but we read Psalm 127, 3-5, and we understand the Bible is very clear that that should not have been. His tragic mistake is openly showing favoritism, resulting in his separation from Joseph for more than 20 years. There's no doubt that this same mistake is repeated many times by parents in our day. We can see it oftentimes with our own eyes. Now, we continue to read in this particular passage, and we see that Joseph's brothers could not speak peaceably unto him. Their relationship with Joseph had soured to the point where they didn't have anything positive to say. When Joseph was in the room or Joseph was anywhere around, you can imagine they were being sarcastic toward him.
They were calling him maybe his daddy's pet. And so it was for Joseph at all. How sad is it, friends, when relationships sour to this point, especially among family members? And it's even sadder when these kinds of feelings develop among spiritual brethren within the church. You see, there are many lessons that we can draw from Joseph and his and his life. You see, Jesus instituted the very finest method for prevention of such circumstances in Matthew 18:15-17. He tells us how to handle these particular circumstances. Now let's begin to look at the dreams of Joseph. Look at verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Now some believe that this dream of Joseph was not a revelation from God. But of course, this is of course one of the ways that God communicated with men in this particular dispensation of time. As we study this, I don't think there's any way that we can come to any other conclusion but that it was a revelation from God and showing what Joseph's future held at this point. It passes these dreams, as a matter of fact, passes the test of a prophet laid forth in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 22. What Joseph dreamed did indeed come to pass in Genesis chapter 42, as we'll get there. If we don't get there today, we'll get that far next week. Now, look at his brethren and how they treated them, how they felt toward him. They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Okay? Verse 8. The jealousy of Joseph's brothers had inflamed to the point that they could not even stop to consider whether this dream might have been a revelation from God. Now, there are those today who hear God's word proclaimed, and they are angered at the messenger, not knowing that he is merely delivering God's truth to them, which they will someday face. You look at Acts chapter 7 and how Stephen was dealt with. He is simply bringing them the message of God. They got so angry that they took him outside the city and they stoned him. The same deal with Paul in instances. Friends, Christians are sometimes want to use Paul's response to the Galatian churches in Galatians 4 and verse 16. Paul says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" What Joseph revealed to them was the truth, but it was not what they wished to hear. In verse 11 of Genesis 37, we see that his brethren envied him. And friends, envy can cause such tremendous problems. Jesus was delivered to the cross because of envy. And envy has no place, friends, within the brotherhood. From the envy of these brothers came the further mistreatment of Joseph, which brought wasted years of deep grief to Jacob. You look at verses 33-35, and you see how Jacob felt after he thought his son had been killed. It was for envy that these brothers sold Joseph into Egypt, Acts 7 and verse 9. Just as Pilate knew that it was for envy, as we mentioned a moment ago, that the Jews had brought our Lord to be crucified, Matthew 27 and verse 18. There's no wonder, then, about the graphic warnings the Bible gives regarding the results of envy. You look at Job 5 and verse 2, Proverbs 14 and verse 30, and Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Nothing positive is said concerning envy. And also verse 11. I want you to notice here maybe a parallel between Jacob and Mary at this point. Notice that Jacob Israel observed the saying, these dreams that Joseph had. So there seems to have been some bit of wisdom in the heart of the older Jacob. There's a distinction drawn here between the way that Jacob received the dreams of Joseph and the way his brothers did. At first, Jacob did indeed rebuke Joseph. But he must have been thinking that perhaps this was a revelation from God. He was not willing to close the door on what he had heard and was more receptive of what it might mean. As Mary talked with Jesus on occasion, and especially after they found him in the temple, Jesus' response to Mary was that he must be about his father's business. And the Bible tells us that Mary hid these sayings in her heart. So we see that there is a parallel here. They thought more upon these things than just the surface. Another version has concerning what is said there in verse 11 is that his father thought about what all these things could mean. So Jacob thought more upon these things. Think about for a moment as we continue to discuss Joseph. Think of him as a patient sufferer. You might compare him much to Job and the things that befell him. Here you have Joseph, who is a well-known and fruitful type of Jesus Christ. He was indeed despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And like Jesus, when cast out by man, he was exalted by God to be a prince and a savior. He was despised by his brethren, but loved by his father. You can draw a very distinct parallel there between Joseph and Jesus Christ. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, was indeed despised by the Jews to the point that they placed him upon the cross. But of course, we know the Father in heaven loved him. He was hated for his words, but honored with visions. Folks did not want to hear at the end what Jesus had to say, but everything that he said came to pass. He was cast into a pit, but there was no water in it. Jesus was put into a grave, and he arose again the third day. See, this Joseph being cast into this pit, it did not kill him. They brought him out again and put him or sold him into slavery. He was sold as a slave, but he was a prosperous man. Genesis 37 and verse 28, sold as a slave. Chapter 39 and verse 2, he was prosperous. Jesus was sold for the price of a slave, but he arose victorious. He was falsely blamed, but God was with him. Genesis 39, 7 through 23, thrown into prison by false accusations by Potiphar's wife. And yet the Lord was with him as he continued to do God's work. Joseph was neglected by the butler, but remembered by the master. Okay, so Jesus oftentimes as we see in his ministry, he was neglected, but God remembered him, and he went to the cross for you and I. Now, let's continue our study. Let's look at another passage concerning Joseph. Let's look at chapter 39, to where Joseph is sold into Potiphar's house. He comes there as a servant, and very quickly he rises in the ranks within Potiphar's household. Now, let me give you a summary of chapter 39. We see the slavers taking a well-traveled trade route from the east through the land of Canaan. The Ishmaelites had taken Joseph there, and they made their way into Egypt. Now, here Joseph was sold to Potiphar. And he begins a new chapter in his life. And we learn that the Lord was continually blessing Joseph and made all that Joseph did to prosper. Now, there was something special about him. And his new master, Potiphar, understood that and he noticed that. And Joseph was given the authority as the overseer of his household. Now, that decision by Potiphar was rewarded by God. It developed to the point that Potiphar had no worries because Joseph was such a good steward. Now, Joseph seems to have been a very handsome young man, and Potiphar's wife was not a very moral woman at all. And that combination led to Joseph's first great conflict in Egypt. When she made immoral advances day by day, so this wasn't something that just happened once or twice. This was a constant onslaught by Potiphar's wife upon Joseph, and his purity was severely tested. Joseph passed the test, but it cost him his freedom. because Mrs. Potiphar here, she lied about what had happened, and Joseph, being honorable enough to follow the advice that Paul would later give the Corinthian saints and young Timothy, he ran from the ungodly woman. His reasoning shows such excellent maturity when he points out that if he did as she requested, he would not only become a bad steward to her husband, but he would also sin against God in doing this wickedness, verse 9. And so Potiphar's wife told her lie to the men of the house, who she must have sent out earlier, and then to her husband. Potiphar mistakenly believed the lie and sent Joseph to prison. Even from this disaster, God continued to shower down his blessings upon Joseph and brought upon him the favor of the keeper of the prison. This brought Joseph a great responsibility in dealing with the other prisoners, and to the keeper there was a lack of worry about the daily workings of the prison, and it made his job a whole lot easier. And so it set up the next phase of Joseph's developing popularity in Egypt at this point. Now, let's read just a little bit of chapter 39, and let's see what happens here as Joseph's life continues in Egypt. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. And he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Well, here again we have another chapter of the life of Joseph. He was brought down into Egypt, verse 1. He had made it into the land which now will become the center of the next great period of biblical history, the Egyptian bondage. The incidents that follow in the life of Joseph all fall into the plan of God and play an important role in fulfilling of the promise God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord was with Joseph, verses 2 and 3, as well as at other points within this passage. It always been as it is now shown in the life of Joseph, that faithfulness to God brings the blessings of God to the one that is faithful. The thing that is so interesting here is that there was something very special and remarkable about Joseph and his life. And Potiphar could see it. And it caused Potiphar to place great trust in him. Now, it seems here that the happiness and pleasure of remaining faithful to God was causing such a sense of optimism and goodwill in Joseph's heart that it bubbled out and could not be missed. Potiphar could see all of this in Joseph's life. He conducted himself and he carried himself in such a way that Potiphar could see that something was different. He saw the results of God blessing Joseph and naturally wanted to attach himself to that prosperity. Now, friends, it could be like that today if we would carry ourselves as Joseph carried himself. Joseph found grace in the heart of Potiphar. The text in Titus 2:10 comes to mind really there. And notice that Potiphar, what he did, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, here's just one of the many figures used in Scripture to express authority. Joseph was given great authority in managing the household and all other possessions of this particular powerful Egyptian. He was a goodly person and well-favored. His master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She said, "Lie with me," verses 6 and 7. Now, the expression at the close of verse 6 speaks of Joseph as being physically attractive or handsome. These two verses effectively put away the concept that it is only men who are attracted by the physical appearance of the opposite sex. Just a side note, a lesson here concerning that. It goes both ways. One lesson for us today is to recognize that it's not only women who need to be concerned about modesty and dress, but men also. There's no indication at all here that Joseph was dressed immodestly, but we see it often in men today. Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife is noteworthy as well. "My master wotteth not what is with me in the house." In these particular two verses, Joseph shows a great maturity in understanding the importance of stewardship. He was seeking to reason with Potiphar's wife about what a dishonor it would be to his relationship with Potiphar for him to take that which had not been placed under his care, under his authority, after having been trusted to such an extent as he had been. A good question for us here is, do we have the same concern for that which God has entrusted to our care? Are we being the stewards that we ought to be for God? That which is required in a steward, friends, is faithfulness, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. God has committed to us the gospel. What are we doing with it? She spake to Joseph, verse 10, day by day. Now, friends, here is a remarkable demonstration of the purity of Joseph, that he was strong enough to withstand the daily invitations of this woman making her advances upon him. James teaches us, James 4 and verse 7, to resist Satan, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. But in order to recognize, it is in order, rather, for us to recognize that the word resist, an aorist imperative, would imply a continuous action. Our Lord valiantly resisted Satan in the desert, in the wilderness, and yet it said of him that Satan departed from him for a season. So Satan would come at him again. And so, friend, we must understand that this resistance against Satan is something that is a continuous action. We must be like Joseph, and we must continue to resist Satan, resist the devil, and keep on resisting. After all, we cannot be made to sin, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It's a choice that one makes, and we have to make a conscious decision every day to resist sin, to resist Satan and his wiles. In verse 11, we read that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, surely Joseph must have been unaware that he was entering this house with no one else present. But this is one who had been attempting to seduce him, and so she has devised this plan to get rid of everybody, and maybe if no one's watching, maybe he'll finally give in. The indication is that Joseph was going about his business as usual, but Potiphar's wife had dismissed the others so that she could ambush him in such a way. Now, we can read explicit warnings about these kinds of situations from Solomon in Proverbs 6:23-29. Men are very unwise who do not use great caution in these types of settings. And look at the wisdom of Joseph. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Verse 12, he wasn't sticking around. It's very, very wise reaction from a young man. The Hebrew servant, as the wife of Potiphar would say, which thou hast brought unto us. Now, of this term, Hebrew, the ISBE records the following. The earliest name for Abraham and his descendants was known as Hebrews or Hebrewess in the New Testament. And it's quite interesting that Potiphar's wife seems to partake of the same spirit as Adam when he tried to blame God for giving him Eve. She seeks to blame the present incident upon her husband for bringing Joseph into their home. So he was taken, Joseph was, and thrown into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, verses 20 and 21. Again, we have Joseph being mistreated, and he's misjudged, but with no fault on his part. And we might think that Joseph would react in a different way this time. But he maintains his faithfulness, and the Lord maintains the blessings upon him. In verse 23, that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. There's a continual emphasis here in the biblical story of Joseph upon the providential care of God. God takes care of his own. And we see that throughout the scheme of redemption. Those that would remain faithful unto him, God's going to see that they are blessed, that they are taken care of. God's going to see to their needs. In Genesis chapter 40, you have the dreams of the butler and the baker being interpreted here by Joseph. Now, one of the perks of being imprisoned in the particular prison in which Joseph had been placed was that of being confined with men who had been in close quarters with Pharaoh. In this chapter, Joseph meets Pharaoh's butler and baker. Now, nothing is told about what had caused Pharaoh's wrath against these two, but they did wind up in the same place where Joseph was confined. For a period of time, these two were placed under Joseph's charge. Now, incidentally, butler here is the same type of idea as cupbearer, as we read in Nehemiah. The cupbearer was supposed to be a very trusted individual, as he was the one that had control over the king or the emperor or the Pharaoh's food, as it were. And so anything that was brought to him, to the king, to the Pharaoh, it was to be made sure of its safety by him. And so the butler, really, he would hold the king's life in his hands at any given time. His drinks, his food, all that was brought to him, he would have opportunity to poison if he was of such a mind. And so it was important, a very important job and a high position, really, within a kingdom. In the same night, though, both the butler and baker dreamed dreams. And then Joseph noticed their sad countenances and inquired about what was troubling them. They mentioned their dreams, and Joseph suggested that God might, through him, interpret their dreams. The butler's dream was interpreted by Joseph to mean that within 3 days he would be restored to his former position. Having confidence the dream would be fulfilled, Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he returned to serve Pharaoh, desiring that the injustice of his own imprisonment might be corrected. The chief baker's dream was not nearly so rosy. Joseph told him that within 3 days Pharaoh would cut off his head, hanging him on a tree and allowing the birds to eat his flesh. Pharaoh indeed released the two servants on his birthday, restoring the chief butler, and he bore the cup for Pharaoh again. But the baker was hanged, just as Joseph had earlier stated in his interpretation of the dream. And so sadly, the butler at this point, though, did not remember his promise to remember Joseph sitting in prison. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 40, they had offended the Lord their king. These are the kinds of circumstances under which Joseph is now living. There's one man who has the power in Egypt, and any offense to him can mean a trip to the dungeon or the prison, if you will. And you think about how different these circumstances are for Joseph and the way he had it back home in his father's house. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Verse 4. One of the many remarkable characteristics of Joseph was that even while he was in a power or a position of authority, he was quite willing to be a servant. His true attitude of humble service is seen in that he was careful to observe the sadness of these two prisoners and sought to do what he could to cheer them up. God has told us that the greatest in the kingdom is the servant, Matthew 23:11-12. So once again, Joseph shows himself to be a worthy role model. We're seeing Joseph basically giving us an example of how a Christian ought to live. Great picture within the scheme of redemption. Interpretations, we learn in verse 8, belong to God. Here Joseph is in a land of polytheism. They worship just about anything. Joseph, though, is bold to speak of and recommend his God, the God of heaven, the one true and living God. Many, having suffered as Joseph had, would begin to blame God and forsake him, but Joseph doesn't do that. He knew God, and he knew God was God still, even in Egypt. What a remarkable faith this young man had. What a lesson to us all. How appropriate would it be for every Christian to bring God into the conversations they have with their day-to-day associates? Would not this be a key in helping the church to grow? Remember Paul's statement in Romans 1 and verse 16? But think on me when it shall be well with thee. Verse 14, talking to the butler. Now, so friends, lest we get the picture that Joseph's life in prison was a picnic. We're told here plainly that Joseph wants out of that prison. Okay, he asks a simple favor of the one to whom he had been a blessing. And his statement reminds us of our own need to remember the less fortunate as we enjoy great prosperity and comfort. How often do we act in similar fashion to the forgetful butler, going about our merry way, not thinking about anyone else? Friends, our Lord has richly blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Can we not see the need to remember those who are not enjoying that blessing? Again, we've been made stewards. We've been made stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us tell others and show others and serve others in showing the gospel to them. Joseph asked that show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Joseph here makes a simple plea for kindness. Kindness seems to have become a lost art in our modern society. For those who follow the word of the Lord, friends, it cannot be so. We must remain kind to all those around us. Joseph says, for indeed I was stolen away. Joseph was fully aware of the evil treatment he had received. The remarkable thing with him, though, was that he did not dwell on those matters. His behavior shows us how to deal with adversity. Friends, when things come upon us, when calamities come upon us, when injustices come upon us in this life, how do we react? How do we deal with them? Do we deal with them as Joseph, or do we crumble? We think when I read of Joseph, I think of the patience of Job. This young man showed great patience and endurance himself. Paul's statement describes well the reaction of Joseph to the suffering he had faced in the past, from Philippians 3 and verse 13. Now, look at the end of the chapter, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And friends, this sounds like so many who receive blessings but fail to be thankful for them. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers and they told them to go show themselves unto the priest, only one returned. And so Jesus asked, where are the 9? Why has only one returned to give thanks? Friend, Joseph gives us many great insights, many great lessons when it comes to what God has done for us. What will we do with those blessings? What will we do with everything that God has given us, the grace that he has bestowed upon us through his son, Jesus Christ, and coming to this earth and dying upon the cross for the remission of our sins? What will we do with them? Joseph gives us a great many lessons in how to handle adversity, as we mentioned a moment ago. How do we react when adversity comes upon us? How do we deal with these things? Do we go to God's Word? Do we turn to Christ to see how we ought to deal with such things? Or do we ask the advice of our friends? Do we go to the world to see how we ought to deal with these things, friend? Let's not seek advice or seek strength from the wrong places. Remember our devotional thought this morning, bad company. Don't keep bad company. Strive to surround yourself with people such as Joseph, as people that would see us do what is right. And friends, let us love one another to the point that we would lift one another up and help one another through the adversity that we may come upon. Let us pray together as we come to the end of our program. Our most high and holy Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for this day that you've blessed us with, the rains, Father, that you have sent our way. Father, we pray that thou would be with us always as we strive to walk on the straight and narrow, Father, as we strive to walk closer unto you. Father, we thank thee for thy Son, for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And we thank you, Father, for examples such as Joseph. Father, we can turn to the scriptures and see the life of such a man and how he conducted himself, Father, so that we may know how to conduct ourselves. Father, we pray for those in the area, Father, where the winter storms are coming through. We pray, Father, that you will keep them safe, and that, Father, that no harm will come to those that are there. Father, we thank thee for all of your blessings. We thank thee, Lord, for your word, that we can open it, Father, and study from it, that we may grow stronger in you, that we may indeed say, as the psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Father, we pray that we will study thy word daily, that we will grow stronger, Father, that we will grow closer unto you in our daily walks, that we may hear you say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we pray all these things in thy Son's holy name. Amen. Well, friends, we appreciate you being with us today. We've got a couple of minutes left. So let me tell you kind of what we're going to do over the next week, maybe two. We're going to continue to look at Joseph and how he conducts himself and what he does. Next week, we'll begin looking at Genesis chapter 41 as we look at Joseph and Pharaoh's dreams and what he does there. After we look at Pharaoh's dreams, we'll begin to look to see how the nation of Israel began to come into Egypt as they come down to Egypt to buy food, and Joseph is there. Of course, they don't recognize him, but we'll get into that as we get into that particular lesson. And so we'll just continue to look at the life of Joseph, and we'll go down through those things. And finally, we'll look at how he reveals himself to his brothers and how that plays into the Exodus, as we'll get into that in the life of Moses and his leading of the people there. Friend, again, we appreciate you being with us today. We invite you to be back with us tomorrow. Rick will be back, I think, to talk about the exposing scripture twisting and as well. So we're on Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 12:30. I'm with you every Monday. Rick has got you the rest of the week, but we appreciate you being with us. Invite you to be with us each day of the week, Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 12:30. We hope you have a great day, a great week, and God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.